lights and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
I'm reprogramming the CTU key card right now.
Good. Our couriers are delivering the canisters to the targets. They'll be in place.
When you're launching your attacks?
After you're done at CTU.
When these terrorists attack, you're going to need to maintain order. But I believe you should be thinking of a preemptive declaration of martial law in the greater Los Angeles area.
If CTU can't find this man, Bierko, we're going to get hit.
Why didn't you just tell me you were alive?
If you knew I was alive, you would have been at risk. I had no choice.
I'm happy that you're alive. I am. But I can't give you what you want right now.
Michelle's murder was part of a bigger plan. To supply terrorists with Centaux nerve gas.
Who's behind it?
Christopher Henderson. Whatever he's not telling us is important. And he's willing to tolerate an inhuman amount of pain.
Thousands of lives are at stake. There is enough time for you to tell me what I need to know to stop this insanity. Please.
I'm sorry, Gary. But I can't tell you what you want to know.
Ms. Bauer, we've been compromised. Someone used a stolen key card to access CTU less than an hour ago.
Freeze! Drop the gun!
Phyllis Jack, I think he tried to deploy nerve gas throughout the building.
Code 6! Everybody out! Go! Go!
Seal all the rooms.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Chloe.
Edgar has come back into the main office. Chloe stares tearfully through the glass of the sealed room, watching helplessly as Edgar succumbs to the gas and falls dead.
The following takes place between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
The gas spews into the ventilation system. CTU staff lie dead everywhere.
Attention all CTU personnel. This facility has been contaminated with Centaux VX1 nerve gas. I repeat. This facility has been contaminated. There are two safe zones. On the main floor, the situation room and medical. On the second floor, the safe zones are the CTU director's office and holding room 4. These areas must remain sealed pending the arrival of the chemical response team. If you are in any of these sealed areas, do not attempt to leave until the CRT clears the environment.
I'm on my way, but it could take 20 to 30 minutes to gather all the CRT personnel you'll need.
I understand, Curtis, but we need CRT here now. This is a high priority. Get here as fast as you can.
All right, copy. I'll call you in a few minutes with updates.
In the sealed room.
It's Bauer.
Jack, it's Bill. I just talked to Curtis. He's with the chemical response team. They won't be able to get here for at least 30 minutes.
Why not?
Most of their units were sent to Tyler Memorial. The rest are en route to high probability targets.
Okay, we're going to keep working here. Our networks are still up, right?
Yeah, the phones are working. The computers are up. I can coordinate with division from here. What do you need where you are?
I need to know if Henderson's still alive.
Where is he?
Agent Burke was transferring him over to the isolation clinic and medical. I don't know if they made it before the barriers went down.
You can tell if you pull up a building grid.
What about CTU's chemical response plan?
Gas masks are in the armory, atropines in medical storage. Both areas are contaminated. We can't get to them without being exposed to the gas.
Bill, I'm gonna have to get right back to you.
Chloe sits in shock. Edgar's mouth trails bloody froth.
Chloe. I know how difficult this is for you right now, but there's nothing we can do for him. I need you to come back to work. Well, at least tell me how to pull up a building grid. I'll do it myself.
Jack, we can try to pull it up.
Get started. Chloe, CTU is immobile right now. Everything is going to go through calm. That's you. I need you back at work.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
Mr. Bauer.
Jack turns and stares at Kim's psychologist boyfriend, Barry. He gets up and walks over to him as if expecting a fight.
What? I can help her. I'm a clinical psychologist.
Jack, slightly wrong-footed, throws a look to his daughter and then back to Barry.
Thank you.
Barry walks over to Chloe. Jack looks almost sheepishly at Kim.
Chloe. My name's Dr. Landis. Now, he was a friend of yours. What was his name?
Edgar.
Edgar.
I'd like you to turn away from Edgar and focus on me, please. Chloe, you're in shock. And I'd like to help you through it. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do is sit in this chair and collect your breath. Let's do that now.
Tears have begun to fall from Chloe's eyes. Barry leads her across to the table and sits her down in a chair.
Such a good guy. Just treated them like crap all day.
Kim, Jack and Audrey all look on sympathetically. 705, Lynn in holding talks to a security guard.
This is my fault.
Sir?
Someone stole my key card and used it to get into the building. It was missing and I didn't say anything.
Why not?
I thought they just stole my wallet for the money.
How could you not report it?
I was embarrassed. I didn't want anyone to know I got beat up.
So we're all gonna die because you were embarrassed.
End of part one. In the infirmary, Tony stirs.
Jimena, what are you doing?
I don't know what's going on.
No, I can't allow that.
Look, I'm not sitting in this damn bed while CTU's under attack, got it?
Fine.
How long are we supposed to be sectioned off like this?
I haven't received any news.
Oh, my God.
Tony has reached the glass door and sees a body outside.
Jack, we've got the building grid.
Buchanan.
Bill, it's Jack. The grid's up.
All right. Check the isolation zones that have logged in. They'll have survivors.
Two zones have logged on in medical.
Try them. I'm going to keep this line open.
Okay, hold on.
Clinic.
Dr. Besson, it's Jack Bauer.
Jack, what's going on?
One of the terrorists infiltrated CTU and deployed a canister of Syntox nerve gas through the ventilation system. That's why we needed to seal off as many rooms as possible. I need to know if Agent Burke got to medical with Henderson.
Yes, he did.
Henderson's here right now?
Tony, is that you?
Jack, how much longer are we going to be locked down?
Right now we're in standby. We're trying to figure out how to clean out the air supply.
Tony grabs Dr. Besson.
Dr. Besson. Dr. Besson. Tony. Give me security feed over at medical.
Jack, I don't think this program is set up for that.
Try a redirect.
Go ahead.
Dr. Besson.
Having rendered Besson unconscious, Tony kills the phone, then walks over to the door into the next bay. Burke stands over Henderson, timing his pulse by his watch. Tony sneaks silently in behind him, creeps up behind Burke, and deftly takes Burke's pistol from his side holster.
What are you doing?
Move aside.
All right, I've got video.
Oh my God, he's got a gun. Patch me through there in a cup.
Do it. We'll be able to hear them, but they can't hear us.
You can't kill him. He's got information we need.
He killed my wife!
Tony, please, don't kill him.
Move aside, Rick. I don't want to shoot you, but I will. Move it!
Jack, Audrey, and the others look at CCTV footage of Tony.
You remember me? My name is Tony Almeida. You killed my wife, Michelle Tesla, this morning. He's gonna kill him. Hurry. Hurry!
Well, she was my life. And you took her. And now I'm gonna take yours.
I got it.
Tony, it's Jack. I've got you on the security feed.
Stay out of this, Jack!
Tony, please just listen to me. You can't do this. I know how you feel right now.
Jack and Kim exchange a significant look.
I lost Terry the exact same way. To one of our own. I know what it feels to be betrayed like this. But Tony, Henderson has information that can save thousands and thousands of lives. And I know that doesn't make you feel better right now. But I know you, Tony. I know you don't want to make this situation any worse than it is. Please just let us finish our interrogation.
Henderson lies staring blankly at the barrel of the pistol which Tony keeps leveled at his head. Tony's hand wavers minutely.
Hurry up.
Agent Burke, please continue.
When Henderson starts talking, focus on how to find the Syntox canisters and how we can find Vierco.
709. Burke takes up another syringe and ejects it into the drip. The pain engulfs Henderson once more.
Tell me where to find Bierko.
Where?
Nowhere.
What is your computer password?
No password.
Agent Burke?
Can we increase the dose?
Not without killing him.
Okay, take a short break and then start again. Get back to me as soon as you've got anything.
Yes, sir.
A title reads, Department of Homeland Security, Los Angeles, California.
How could CTU have been hit?
We're not sure, Mr. Vice President.
Are you telling me they didn't have any safeguards in place?
They had partial containment, but our early reports indicate that 40% of their personnel have been taken out.
You mean they've been killed?
I'm afraid so, sir.
CTU is protecting this city. Are you saying they're no longer capable of doing that?
I'm saying they've been seriously compromised, yes.
So what are we going to do, Ms. Hayes? We've got terrorists with nerve gas canisters out there. Who is going to stop them?
Mr. President, I suggest an emergency restructuring.
Meaning what?
Meaning that the chemical response team will go in, neutralize the nerve gas at CTU, and I will take a team in there and personally manage the operation.
How soon can you do that?
Within the hour.
Fine. Do it.
Yes, sir.
All right. They're still somewhat operational. It's not a complete disaster.
Mr. President, it is. I can see no other option right now but to impose martial law on the city of Los Angeles.
Well, my advisors believe that if the military takes over the streets and starts detaining people, it could create mayhem.
Sir, it's only a matter of time before more canisters are released in public places, and then you will have mayhem. Except without the soldiers, you'll need to contain it.
So what do I tell the public? That we've got nerve gas canisters all over the city, but we don't know where they are.
No, you don't have to get into that. Tied to that earlier incident at the airport.
I'm going to get resistance from all sides.
That's true, sir. We may have to swallow some salt water, but wouldn't it be worth it? If we can keep the people off the streets, safe from another public attack.
I don't know, Hal.
Sir, consider this. If we clear the streets of everybody except the military, these terrorists won't be able to move as freely as they are right now. We have to do whatever we can to stop the people behind this.
Bierko sits in front of a computer screen, zooming in on what looks like a city street plan. One of his henchmen walks up.
CTU is no longer an obstacle, at least for the time being.
Good. Have our men move from their current positions and go to the new target.
How much of the nerve gas will they release there?
All of it.
The terrorist nods and withdraws. 7:17. Henderson shudders in pain. Jack approaches Barry.
Excuse me.
Barry withdraws. Kim and Audrey glance up sharply.
Chloe, are you ready to go back to work?
What do you need?
I need you. We can't bring Henderson. I need you to keep trying to decrypt the files that we took from his computer.
I already tried that. It didn't work. Maybe somebody else can do it.
Chloe, you're the only person in the room qualified. Chloe, please, don't shut down on me now. I'm upset about everything that's happening too, but you know how things work around here. We do not quit until it's over.
Look, you're not helping her. You're just making things worse.
Jack fixes Barry with the Bauer glare. He squares his shoulders and crosses the room with contained menace.
That you are qualified to help someone through this kind of distress over an extended period of time. But you see, we do not have an extended period of time. So if you don't mind stepping aside so I can do my job, I would appreciate it.
You know, believe it or not, Jack, you don't have to be qualified to help people. You just have to be there for them.
Like you were there for my daughter.
What does that mean?
You're 20 years older than she is. I know exactly what you're doing.
I have done nothing but try and help her deal with her. How dare you accuse me of taking advantage of her?
You didn't.
Dad, you can be angry at me all you want. But before I met Barry, I didn't want to live. Do you understand that?
Jack throttles Barry with one hand.
Fine, I'll get back to work. If everyone could just relax. Jack, we have a problem.
Jack grudgingly releases Barry.
What?
A warning flashes onto Bill's screen.
Gloria, I just saw the alarm. What's going on?
Seal pressure indicators in the contaminated zones are showing traces of sublimated polymer near the partition seal.
What does that mean?
It means that the nerve gas must be mixed with a corrosive agent, an acid. The acid's breaking down the seal between the rooms.
How long till the seal fails completely?
It's hard to say for sure.
Can you give me an estimate?
It's deteriorating quickly. I'd say 15 minutes, 20 at the most.
And then what? As soon as the gas permeates the seal, it enters the room. Then it's over. Give me schematics on all the isolated zones.
Barry, Audrey and Kim each attempt to absorb this news. Bill stands in his office surveying the seal and the bodies on the floor outside. 719, Novik on the phone.
Mr. Vice President, with all due respect, I'm not trying to usurp your position. I'm simply trying to serve the president the best way I can. Yes, sir.
What was that about?
I was trying to convince Gardner to let me help him draft the president's statement.
Charles is letting Hal write his statement?
He's insisted, and the president gave him the go-ahead.
But that means Gardner's effectively making policy. You gotta stop him.
I'm trying. But you know what kind of pressure the president's under today. He wants all the counsel he can get, and Hal's only too eager to help out.
Of course he's too eager. He's got his eye on the Oval Office. Anything he can do to speed up Charles's downfall puts him one step closer to the presidency.
Martha, you have to intervene. Hal feeds the president ideas. We saw it at the WTO. We saw it in Chicago. When they work, Hal takes the credit for it. When they don't, the president takes the hits.
Have you reminded Charles of that?
I can't. Hal's the vice president. I'm just the chief of staff. You have influence that supersedes any constitutional rank, and now's the time to use it.
Mike fixes Martha with his intense, hooded gaze. She deliberates painfully.
I want to see the statement as soon as it's issued.
You will.
Mike leaves Martha deep in thought. 7:21 at CTU.
I just checked the readings from all uncontaminated zones.
The testing you've been doing in your respective areas is consistent. Centox nerve gas that was released into the air duct system contains a corrosive agent that is eating away at the barrier seals protecting the safe zones. I'm not going to pull any punches. CRT will not be here in time to help us. At this point, our only hope is to help ourselves. We need to find a way to either neutralize or flush the Centox out of the contaminated areas before the barrier seals fail and the gas enters the safe zones. I want all personnel working on this problem. We don't have much time. Do what you can.
We'll hope for the best.
Maybe we can do something from in here.
Access ventilation system?
Even if I could, it doesn't mean we could do anything to stop the seals from breaking down.
Just try.
Jack stands by the glass door, looking keenly at the air ducts. Audrey comes to stand beside him.
Maybe it's not as bad as we think. Maybe the numbers are off.
They're not.
Even if the seals leak, CRT could get here in time.
Jack looks at Kim.
The reason she's here is because I asked her to stay. If something happens to her, it's going to be because of me. Because of what I did.
There is no way that you could know that CTU is vulnerable.
Jack.
You got something?
I think if I can slow the seals from breaking down, I can flush the contaminated areas using the air conditioning.
Do it.
Chloe taps away frantically.
Something's wrong. The control isn't responding.
Why not?
Being blocked by some program that I can't get to remotely. It's probably on a computer near Holding 4.
You get me in there.
This is a false wall. The air in there is not contaminated.
Can he get to the computer through there?
Yes, but once he makes it through the safe zone, he'll be in a contaminated area.
What are you talking about? He can't go through a contaminated area.
I can hold my breath. The Syntox won't be absorbed on my skin over that short a period of time. As long as I don't inhale it, I'll be fine.
Jack, you can't hold your breath that long.
I only have to hold my breath long enough to get to the computer, disconnect the program, and get back to the ventilated room. Once I'm back in the safe room, how long will it take you to clear out the Syntox?
About 20 seconds, based on the cubic footage.
Jack, even if you get to the computer, what if we can't ventilate that room?
Chloe thinks we can. Right now, this is our only option. CRT is not going to get here in time.
The seals are now 80% gone.
What's the bottom line?
We have less than 20 minutes.
All right, Jack, Chloe and I are on Channel 1. If you need to communicate with anyone else, we'll patch you through.
As soon as I go through, you have to replace this behind me.
Jack, it's time. Go now.
Now.
Jack slits out one of the panels and launches himself into the cavity of the wall. Kim looks on with appalled curiosity and then humbly drops her gaze. 7:24, end of part 2. Part 3, 7:28. Jack, his hood pulled up and a torch held between his teeth, maneuvers himself along a narrow passageway full of pipework. He drops down and shines the torch all around him. He finds the rungs of a ladder embedded in the concrete wall. He climbs these energetically and pushes through a thick hatch door at the top. Reclosing the hatch, he locates a toolbox and takes from it a roll of gaffer tape. He pulls off a length of tape and begins sealing the hatch. Back in the main room, Kim sits at the table looking worried.
Chloe, it's Jack. I just completed the airlock. I'm getting ready to move into the evaluation room. I'll tap my comm unit 3 times when I'm back in the safe room.
All right. Jack, I don't have to remind you, if that airlock leaks, we'll all be dead within the next 3 minutes.
It's not gonna leak, Chloe. Okay. I'm going in.
Okay.
Jack moves over and leans against the wall. He pulls up the hood of his top again. He takes a series of really deep breaths. 7:30. He yanks open a door and moves into the contaminated area. Bodies lie all around. He moves briskly over to a wall, gets out his knife, and begins slitting out one of the panels. He removes the panel and puts it to one side. Turning back, he sees that his way is blocked by thick metal bars. He grimaces and looks for a way around this. Across the room within, he sees the screen of a computer flashing up the message, "Warning, all air ventilation system shut down." He turns and hurries away. On Chloe's screen, the figure 86% glows in green.
The seal corrosion is now at 86%.
Is there anything we can do from here?
No, we just have to wait. There's nothing we can do to get your dad out any faster.
Don't talk down to me, Chloe.
Listen, we're in a crisis situation here, okay? Tempers are bound to flare. Let's just everybody breathe.
What's with you and the breathing? Is that your solution to everything?
Jack rushes back into the ventilated room and, nearly bursting, taps 3 times on his earpiece.
It's Jack. He's back in the room. It's too soon. He couldn't have found the program and disabled it yet. He's got 15 more seconds before the room clears.
What's it mean that he finished so quickly?
I don't know.
Well, it could be a good thing, right?
It could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. That's what "I don't know" means.
Jack struggles to hold his breath.
All right, Jack, the room is clear. You can breathe. Are you okay?
7:31.
I couldn't get to it. Chloe, you're right. I saw it. There's a computer program running on the AC control unit, but there's a security grate in the wall behind the vent.
I don't see it on my system.
Trust me, it's there.
I just found it. It was a security upgrade in the last 2 years. Somebody didn't file it properly. That's why I didn't see it.
Are there any other vents that could help us get into that wall?
No, they've all been upgraded.
Well, it's a room. There's got to be a door. Where does it lead?
To a corridor above holding 4. None of us can get there from where we're at.
Who's in holding room 4?
Lynn McGill.
Are there any other vented rooms we can get him to?
No, Jack, there's nothing.
Jack closes his eyes as if finally defeated.
Pass me through to him.
McGill here.
Lynn, it's Jack. We found a computer interrupt in the AC control unit. Now, if we can shut that down in the next few minutes, we can stop the gas from permeating the safe zones.
Well, that's good news.
The problem is you're the only person close enough to get to it. Chloe.
It's directly above the holding room where you are now. Take the stairs, go to the left, around the corner. It's the room on your left.
Okay. How are we going to do this, Jack?
Lynn, the truth is, if I could get there, I would do this myself, but I'm not close enough. No one who's still alive in CTU is. You're the only person who can do this. And I'm going to have to ask you to do it without any protection.
I see.
No, you don't. As soon as you open the door to the hallway, your room will become contaminated. You can hold your breath long enough to fix the problem, but we have nowhere else to send you. We can't airlock you.
There are 2 of us in here, Jack.
Sir, this is Harry Swinton. So you're saying that if he does this, then we're both gonna die?
I'm so sorry.
I don't have a choice, Harry.
How do we know that you're not just making this story up so that you don't have to make the sacrifice yourself?
You don't. All I can ask you to do is believe me. I'm telling you the truth.
Well, that's easy for you to say, sir. You're not the one who's about to die.
It's not easy for me to say.
Hold on.
Lynn switches the phone to mute.
We have to do this, Harry. We're gonna die anyway. If we don't, so will everyone in CTU. We have to do this.
Harry's gray face shows utter despair. He turns away.
Okay, Jack, go ahead.
Once you enter the ventilation room, the computer will be on your right.
There's a program running on the computer. You need to quit out of it. I'll take it from there.
Lynn, we don't have a lot of time.
We'll do it.
7:39. Jack goes back down through the hatch door. In the main sealed room, Barry gets up and paces nervously, massaging the back of his neck. Kim takes this opportunity to walk across to where Chloe sits in front of her screen.
Chloe, I'm sorry about how I acted earlier and about your friend that died.
Thanks.
I've been wanting to ask you something. Did you have contact with my dad while he was gone?
I sent him information about once a month.
What kind of information?
A lot of different things.
About me?
Actually, almost all of it was about you. Your breakup with Chase, your depression.
How did you get...
Really good at getting information. I don't judge it, I just pass it on. I'm sorry about you and Chase. It must have been really painful.
Yeah, it was. So you talked to him too?
Chase? No.
You know where he is?
Know what I could find out if you want.
No, it's all right. Barry thinks I should let that go. He's probably right.
Yeah, well, shrinks are always giving advice that they probably don't follow themselves.
How are you doing?
Well, this morning I woke up with a guy in my bed that I'll probably never see again, and I just watched one of my best friends die right in front of me, so I guess not that great.
Jack's flashlight moves along through the narrow cavity wall. He locates the panel he removed earlier and pushes through into the sealed room.
Replace the panel. I'll up the security fee for the observation room.
7:41. Lynn stands in holding.
You be a good girl for Mommy, okay? If she tells you you have to go to bed, you have to go to bed.
When are you coming home?
I don't know, honey.
Up?
Of course I will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going in now, Harry. Say goodbye. I love you.
I love you too, Daddy.
Bye, baby girl.
Chloe, we're ready. I'm going in.
Okay, good luck. And thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
Lynn walks across and puts his hand on the handle of the door. He looks back to Harry, who nods resignedly. Both men take a deep breath and push wads of cloth to their faces. Lynn closes the door and hurries out through the body-strewn corridor and up the stairs. He jogs around a corner and into the computer room. He works intently at the keyboard and succeeds in changing the red flashing warning to a blue message reading, System restored. All air ventilation functions operational. He hurries away.
Did it.
Is the AC responding?
Yes, I'm starting the fans now.
How long before the Centaux is neutralized?
At least 15 minutes, but the concentration should go down enough to stop eating away at the seals immediately. Polymer count is down.
It looks like the seals will hold until
all zones are clear.
Lynn, still clutching the cloth to his face, hurries back into the holding cell.
Lynn, Harry, I don't know if you can still hear me, but I want you to know what you did was successful. The seals are holding. I will personally notify your families and tell them of the sacrifice you made. I'm so sorry. I don't know what else to say. Thank you.
7:43. Harry releases his breath. Harry's false hope is short-lived. In the main room, Jack and the others witness his agony on the CCTV. Lynn looks on, knowing his moment has come. Lynn begins to convulse horribly and slides to the floor. Jack, Audrey, Chloe, Kim and the rest look down and away from the horrific images of Lynn choking and squirming on the cold floor of the holding cell. His body contorts into the fetal position and his hands tense into claws. Finally, he is still. Bill looks on in horror.
Pull up the security feed to medical.
Jack, his face compressed by grief, disgust and rage, steps away from the table and clutches his head. Kim watches him. Jack puts a hand to his face and seems to draw new resolve from the depths of his being. In medical, Burke approaches Henderson with a syringe.
Can you hear me? What's your name?
No name.
You're wasting your time.
Agent Burke, it's Jack Bauer. What have you got from Henderson?
Nothing. He's still not talking.
Okay, keep working on him. As soon as the barriers go up, I'll get back to you.
Chloe, I don't think we're going to break Henderson now. All the information that we're going to get is from his computer. I need you to keep working on those files.
Most of my team is gone. How am I going to do that?
Only work on his files. Kim, as soon as the barriers go up, I want you to go over medical and let them check you out.
No, Dad, when the barriers go up, I'm leaving.
Kim, please just do this for me. We still need to talk.
There's nothing to talk about.
Don't be in such a hurry to cut me off.
You cut me off. Listen to me. I'm not angry. I love you. But there's nothing left to say except I don't want to be around you.
Jack recoils minutely in shock.
Every time I am, something horrible happens. People die. And I know that's not your fault. But I can't be a part of it.
I don't want you to be a part of that. All I want is for one day you and I just to be able to spend time together. Kim, I had to give you up once. I'm not going to let that happen again.
Dad, I can't.
Kim walks away across the room, leaving Jack utterly floored. She passes Chloe working at her screen and walks up to Barry.
Hey. God, that was close.
Jack stands by himself, staring through the glass wall. Audrey gently approaches him from behind. She reaches out and discreetly takes his right hand.
You're right.
No.
7:46, end of part 3. Part 4, 7:51. Mike Novick reads to Martha and Logan.
An emergency peacekeeping force.
That was Hal's suggestion. I think it works.
Aren't you afraid that an edict of this kind could do far more damage than any chemical weapon ever could?
Martha, CTU has been attacked. Our first line of defense is shut down, and people were killed because of this chemical weapon. And that's just a prelude to what's going to happen in this city. More nerve gas will be released. I can guarantee it. Look, if you or Mike, you have any better ideas, please. I would be glad to hear them.
Mike gazes inscrutably at Logan.
Could we have a moment?
Certainly.
Mike gets up to leave as requested, eyeing Logan oddly as he goes. The hapless president holds Novick's gaze unsteadily.
What is it, Martha?
If you, Charles Logan, really feel that martial law is your only option, I will support you. But what I will not do is stand by and watch Hal Gardner use you to promote his own agenda.
Please, Martha, give me some credit.
He has done it before. He is not the president. You are.
I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do.
Logan's hand flaps feebly on the table. He blenches under Martha's fiery gaze.
I don't know how much more of this I can take. I really don't.
Martha stares at him. His lip trembles.
David's assassination, the nerve gases, the murder of those hostages, Walt Cummings' betrayal. And you. I almost lost you. I didn't lose you, did I?
Martha's expression remains unreadable. Logan seems to see his fate hanging in the balance. She sheds a tear but finally reaches out to him.
Lose me. I'm still here.
They clasp each other's hand tightly. The terrorists appear to be mobilizing.
Yes.
We're set in position awaiting final command.
Good. The men are there. They need the schematics.
Bierko responds by opening his mobile phone and dialing. A man lying in bed looks towards the ringing phone on the desk. A striking young woman of Slavic appearance, dressed in her underwear and pulling on a petticoat, walks in and answers.
Who is it?
Just a client. Yes.
Have you got it yet?
Told you I'd call you as soon as I have everything. I'm still waiting on a few items.
I'm paying you a lot of money, Colette.
And if you could have gotten the detailed specs of a facility this secure from someone else, you would have. But you didn't. You called me and I'll have it for you in a few minutes.
She hangs up, leaving Bierko looking troubled. She moves over to the bed.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Difficult client.
7:54.
I wish I knew exactly what it is you did. I might be able to help.
You do help me.
She straddles him and kisses him.
Oh, I can't. I have to go and finish something.
He holds her arms and pulls her back down onto him.
Finish this.
How long until the air will be safe to breathe?
Momentarily, sir.
All right, thank you very much. Buchanan.
Mr. Buchanan,
this is Karen Hayes from Homeland Security.
Karen?
I'm running a damage assessment and I need your body count.
Well, we don't have a body count yet. We'll know more when CRT gets here and the barriers lift.
What's your best estimate?
I'm guessing we'll need at least 20 in comm and 35 in tactical and other departments.
All right, well, I'm on my way over there with a core team. We can make adjustments when I get there.
You're coming here now?
Yes.
We'll see.
I'll be there soon.
How's your progress?
Good. I've already reformatted their main service to our specs. All their tactical protocols will have to go through me.
Good.
I may have to replace some of their personnel with my people. Do you have a problem with that?
Absolutely not. After what these people have been through, most of them won't be up to full capacity. We need to identify these people quickly and send them home.
What about chain of command? Am I going to need approval from Bill Buchanan if I want to make a personnel change?
No, Bill won't be in charge when we get there. I will. For all intents and purposes, CTU is no longer an operational entity. It's a building with workers who will report to us.
The shutters roll upwards from the glass walls of the main sealed room.
Clear. I'm going back to medical. Kim, I have to finish this now.
I know. Goodbye, Dad.
Jack hesitantly kisses Kim on the cheek.
Goodbye.
Excuse me, Jack. I just wanted to say thank you for saving our lives. We definitely couldn't have gotten through this without you.
Take her outside of the city. Don't make any stops, you understand?
Barry nods. Jack turns to go. 7:57. Barry and Kim make to leave. In medical, Burke leans over Henderson. Tony comes to stand by the gurney.
Looks like he's
No. His nervous system is shut down.
Well, can you wake him up?
No.
Both Burke and Tony reach for the phone. Tony wins.
Almeida.
Tony, it's Jack. I'm on my way.
Yeah, Jack. Henderson's in a coma. He's not coming out of it. You've had your chance. He's mine now.
Damn it, Tony. Just wait until I get there.
No. I'm done waiting.
You don't want to do this. It's not going to bring back Michelle.
No. But I'll feel better.
Trust me, you won't.
You're probably right. I'll let you know.
Tony! Tony! Damn it.
What'd Jack say?
He's on his way here. We'll figure out what to do when he gets here.
There's nothing to figure out. This guy's cooked.
Tony delivers a vicious blow to the back of Burke's neck. He then busies himself with a syringe from Burke's case. He fills the syringe with clear fluid and casts a venomous look at the prone body of Henderson. Tony moves across to Henderson, clutching the syringe like a dagger. He places a hand on Henderson's chest and readies himself to stab him. Tony's face twitches, but he appears unable to bring himself to finish the job. Henderson's eyes flicker, then open. He immediately clocks the syringe, grabs Tony's arm and forces the needle round and into Tony's heart. As Tony falls to the floor, Henderson is already ripping out his drip tube and grabbing the pistol. He checks the clip, puts a hand to his aching head and disappears out of the room. Tony lies on the floor, his eyes open and his face twitching. Jack appears and comes in through the glass door. He assesses the situation and then runs over to where Tony lies.
Tony.
I couldn't do it.
It's all right. It's all right. Come on.
Jack pulls Tony up into his arms.
Stay with me. Stay with me.
I need help! Somebody help!
Hang on. She's gone.
Tony seems to have slipped away. Jack grasps him wildly to his chest and holds him tight, rocking back and forth in desperation. Jack's face crumples as tears prick his eyes. 8 p.m. The end.